seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, reading from verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. At the beginning, in the first verse, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, and there's a comma, looking unto Jesus. Oh, this word indeed appears to be a word, looking unto Jesus, which would include the first verse and then also many other things that may follow in respect of our need of the Lord Jesus, following our great salvation in and through him. Well, this word looking unto Jesus, the word looking, it is a word unusually understood in the Greek interpretation of it. And it means looking away. That is what it means, looking away. But it's proper, isn't it? We've got to look away from everything, so that we can look in for Jesus. And that is what we have to do, dear friends. When we belong to Jesus, we have to look away. And it's looking away from ourselves, looking away from any props, dear friends, that we think we might need here below. Looking away from our own so-called wisdom and knowledge, intellect. Dear friends, it doesn't come in here. We're looking to Jesus. And if we take a few thoughts of the first verse, because that is how this word looking unto Jesus follows on. It's only Jesus that can bring us through our course here below. None else. If we look to ourselves, we'll become a stumbling block in the way, dear friends, a hindrance, a distraction. It's looking away properly, away from everything, but looking alone unto Jesus. And as I read this morning, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, out of Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Ye are my witnesses. And we went through a few thoughts in respect of that. And what a mercy it is to be one of those witnesses, dear friends, the witness of a suffering Christ upon the cross at Calvary, in the room and place of sinful men and women, is the great blessing, isn't it? And Jesus is the faithful and the true witness. He came and fulfilled everything that his heavenly Father gave him to do. He fulfilled both all the sacrifices and the offerings, dear friends, which were a type and a shadow of better things to come. And then he also fulfilled all that the prophets spake of him. And we did manage, I believe, to take a few things from the Old Testament, where indeed were the faithful followers of the Lord Jesus, those that looked to him, those that prayed for him, those whose hope was in him, those who lived by faith upon him. Yes, the Messiah, he that should come. And we brought at this wondrous word of witness into the gospel and into gospel times, and we're in gospel times today, and we have here a great cloud of witnesses that came through their course, dear friends. Who brought them through? Not themselves. They could never do it themselves. It's looking to Jesus. He brought this great cloud of witnesses through, dear friends, and they were persecuted, they were tried, they were indeed afflicted and troubled, burdened, many sorrowing. But, dear friends, they were in an awful state and condition, some of them, and it comes into gospel times. The Hebrew Christians here, they were persecuted, you see, and Paul is setting these things before them. He is showing them how that the church, the Old Testament church, endured and continued and came through their course. And who was it, dear friends, that brought them through? Who was it that conquered and overcame for them? Looking to Jesus. This is our mercy today, dear friends, in looking alone to Jesus. May this be a word for us today, because we're continuing. We're, dear friends, in that way and path that the Lord will bring us to pass through here below. And our troubles and our trials and our difficulties, they won't be the same, dear friends, as the Old Testament. Some things may be the same, dear friends, but we're walking out a path, dear friends, that the Lord has ordained for us here below. And we have more spiritual enemies today, haven't we? Indeed, we have sin and hell and Satan, dear friends, great enemies of the church, great enemies to the souls of the Lord's dear people. And remember that Satan, he was that one, dear friends, in the afflictions and the persecutions of the Hebrew Christians here. They were struggling, dear friends, against much opposition and many that contended against them. And Satan, he is that one, dear friends, is the adversary of the Lord's people. And he is on every side. Make no mistake about it. And when does he come in, dear friends? He comes into the soul, dear friends, when we're found in our weakest place, when we're left to ourselves. That's when he will come in, dear friends, when we're left to ourselves. And that is what these Hebrew Christians, they were left to themselves, they were persecuted. What was their great trouble, dear friends? They were not looking to Jesus, they were looking away. Dear friends, they were looking away. So this is a wonderful lesson here, isn't it? For the Lord's people, for us today. But oh, to be one of these, dear friends, a cloud of witnesses. Dear friends, to be those dependent, trusting, looking, waiting upon the Lord. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Paul was encouraging these Hebrew Christians to continue and to endure, dear friends, unto the end. And there's only one way to do it: looking unto Jesus. And the church will be more than conquerors through him that loved them. Oh, he will, dear friends. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, these also then, Hebrew Christians, were witnesses. And he says, let us lay aside every weight, and let us run with patience the race that is before us. We're witnesses then. this great cloud of witnesses here came through, and they show to us, dear friends, an example of triumphant grace, dear friends. Oh, that grace that should bring his people through their course. Oh, that grace that can conquer and overcome every last enemy of the church and bring them successfully and triumphantly to the end, dear friends. This is the wonderful truth, and it's an encouragement to these Hebrew Christians that were persecuted. Their path was very trying, dear friends. Well, this is the truth then with us today. We are those that are witnesses. Are we a witness, dear friends, of this wondrous truth here? Does this word belong to us? Is it a word precious to our souls, dear friends? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And dear friends, what is every weight? Something that is a burden to us, isn't it? Something that we may be brought to carry, you see, some trial, some tribulation. Jesus said that in the world ye shall have a tribulation, and it is of a truth. But this is the truth in respect of these trials and troubles and tribulations. You see, let us lay aside every weight. Is it easily to be done? You know, we're speaking here of a race that is to be run. And the race has a finishing line, dear friends. And Paul, who was able to mention in another place, pressing toward the mark for the prize. The mark, dear friends. Where's the mark? Looking to Jesus. That's how Paul came through. Paul was in such an afflictive and a trying path in respect of preaching the gospel. You know, the devil was always behind him. There were all those, dear friends, already following Paul, contradicting all that he said. He stood a lot of trouble and trial and affliction in the preaching of the gospel. He was left dead at one point, dear friends, but his day wasn't finished. No, his course wasn't finished. The Lord raised him up. You see, he continued, and laying aside every weight, Paul pressing toward the mark. He was pressing through troubles and trials and afflictions, dear friends. Everything that seemed to come against him in preaching the gospel, let us make no mistake about it, dear friends, Satan is behind the gospel. He hates the gospel. And if any soul, dear friends, is blessed to hear and to receive this wondrous gospel and to have a witness and a testimony of Jesus in their room and place, suffering in their room instead for their sins and iniquities, Satan will be near to hand, dear friends. He will be. Let us lay aside every weight. Paul was able to lay aside every weight. Why? How was it? He was looking to the mark. The mark is Jesus, the finishing line. Dear friends, do we see that only one that can bring us through our course and to that finishing line? Jesus said that he would suffer many things for his name's sake. But Jesus was his helper all his journey through. And therefore, having obtained help from God, I continue to this day. He was looking to Jesus. He was looking to Jesus. His only one, the only helper of his people. And the only one, dear friends, that can appear for us in our troubles and our trials and afflictions here below. Those opposites that we may meet with. But, dear friends, let us know what it is Let us lay aside every weight, every burden. You know, when we're running in a race, dear friends, we have to take all the long and the heavy clothes off, don't we? We have to put the light ones on so that we can run the race, dear friends, and gain the prize. You see, this is the blessing and the mercy when in troubles and trials and afflictions. Do not look to ourselves, dear friends. Do not look to ourselves. That is what this word here means. Looking unto Jesus, looking away, thinking we can bring ourselves through our troubles and trials. Come to the Lord. Come to his word. Looking unto Jesus. He is the only one to bring us through our course. Our trials, our afflictions, they may be bodily afflictions, they may be outward troubles and trials, you see, but oh, looking unto Jesus. You know, David, he went forth through that wilderness of Judea, and it was an awful life. For him, indeed, always, as it were, looking over his shoulder, Saul with his men always seeking after him, and David, the Lord preserved and kept him. But then David decided he's had enough. He's had enough. And he thought, I'll go to Achish, king of Gath, and I'm sure Saul won't follow me there. And so he went, and Saul turned back. But you see, the Lord left David to himself. Why? Well, that is what this word is here. Looking away. He was looking, dear friends, to himself. He was looking to his own wisdom and his own knowledge and the way that he thought he could be free from Saul of following him. But dear friends, he got into greater trouble, didn't he? The Lord knew he would. And then the Lord brought him to that proper place. If you read in Psalm 34 and verse 6, what was it, dear friends, when the princes of the people and so forth saw that Saul had slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands? Oh, he'd slain the Philistines, and he's gone to the Philistines for help and protection. He went to the Lord's enemies, dear friends. You see, he turned away, looked away. But, dear friends, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You see, that was where he was needed to be. A poor man, poor and needy man, and then to wait upon the Lord, to commit our whole path to him. That is where we need to be, dear friends, in our troubles and our trials. Poor and needy, and yet one able to look to Jesus, wait upon him, come to him and him alone. Dear friends, well, this is it, the truth here. Lay aside every weight. And dear friends, we've got to come away from ourselves. Dear friends, yes, Jesus is that only one that can bring us through. And whatever, dear friends, that we may carry with us, dear friends, that will hinder us in our way and path, look to Jesus. He is the only one. Everything else will hinder us, will be a stumbling block in the way. We will never reach the prize that Paul was reaching forth for. No, we will never come to it. It was looking for that mark, the finishing line, you see, and when the race would be over. But he was looking to Jesus, wasn't he? Yes, before that word, pressed toward the mark, he said, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before. What have we got before, dear friends? Why, there's Jesus. Oh, he sat at the right hand of the Father, ready to appear for his people, ready to hear their prayers and petitions, ready to bring their course, bring them through their course and path here below. You see, their troubles are his troubles, and we can lay them upon him, dear friend, and he will bring us through our way and path here below. Oh, let us lay aside every weight, dear friends. That is our mercy, and everything that may burden us in our way and path, let it fall away, dear friends. Don't rely upon an arm of flesh, trust in an arm of flesh at all, dear friends. Don't look away from Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, and we're journeying, and it's only Jesus that can bring us through our course to our journey's end. And this is the mercy. And then he says, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, sins. Oh, the church will be troubled by and through sin. Sin will continue to be a great enemy to the Lord's people. This body of death hasn't been removed and taken away from us, dear friends. No, we've still got the deceitful, desperately wicked heart that lies within us, and it will prove to be troublesome to us all our journey through. There's no doubt about that, dear friends. Left to ourselves, it will be a trouble to us. You see this sin, and Paul was brought to that place when he would do good, evil was present with him. Well, everything that is evil, dear friends, it's of Satan, isn't it? Because there's sin in it. And that's all he knows. This roaring lion still walking about, seeking whom he may devour, dear friends, it's all sin, isn't it? The very truth. And, dear friends, have we been brought to be burdened, troubled over this body of death? Is it sin, dear friends? The wayward heart, the vain imaginations, dear friends? The foolish thinking? Oh, dear friends, the vain thoughts that rise up? Dear friends, the sin that is in us? And the evil that still remains, that when he would do good, evil was present with him. Who is it, dear friends, that was going to bring Paul through? It's very troubling, his sin. It's tried me for days and weeks on end at times, dear friends. It has. And I know for 3 weeks on one occasion, to me, sin was a great trouble and a burden to my poor soul. And I was looking to the Lord, I was looking for his word. No one else, dear friends, could restore. No one else could bring any comfort to my soul. But he spoke to me, "Fear not," he said, "ye are of more value than many sparrows." Dear friends, my sins fled from me. "Ye are of more value than many sparrows." Where was that value, dear friends, that I saw? The precious Christ hanging upon the cross in my room and place. Oh, how Jesus valued there, how precious his people was to him as he was upon the cross. Dear friends, they were all laid in and upon the heart of his love. And it set me free, dear friends. It did. My sins fled from me. Oh, fear not. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. And Paul, he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Looking to Jesus. Oh, he's that only one, dear friends, that can deliver us and save us. And it's certainly in the instance of that, that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, dear friends. And it does, doesn't it? The Lord will appear for his people. He will deliver them, those, dear friends, that are truly sincere and begging for deliverance and begging for his mercy. Yes, he will appear. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God. He is our advocate, isn't he? He is our advocate on high. If any man sin, we have an advocate with God. We have Jesus Christ the righteous. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, the sin which does so easily beset us. And then in this sin here, dear friends, that they were ready to almost give up, weren't they? The Hebrew Christians, ready to apostatize. They fell into unbelief. And it's a great sin, that, unbelief. It's a great sin. One of the greatest sins. It's a very subtle one. But Paul calls it an evil heart of unbelief in Hebrews chapter 3. An evil heart of unbelief. And dear friends, they were falling into, they were ready to apostatize, and this unbelief had come into them. They were almost ready to give up, dear friends. But oh, this sin of unbelief. There's only one, dear friends, that has the cure for this, and it's a looking unto Jesus, dear friends. Those, dear friends, who belong to Jesus, those who have been gathered to him by and through the Spirit, and they had received the gospel and all the blessings of it, salvation that was in it. They rejoiced in that salvation, but they were persecuted in respect of it to such an extent that they were ready to give up. But dear friends, we've got to continue even though this sin of unbelief may come in at times, dear friends. Jesus, what he has done once for his people, he has done forever. There can be never be any change from that. They had received the gospel and the blessing of it, a believing faith in the Lord Jesus, and they were witnesses. They were those, dear friends, who were found in this period, dear friends, of translation from the Old Testament to the New. These were those Hebrew Christians, and that is why Paul is writing in such a way, dear friends. Everything that they had been blessed with, he brought and showed them from the Old Testament to the New. The sacrifices, the offerings, the covenant of grace, dear friends, the blessings of the gospel, all. And they'd receive them. And I do believe they have been brought, dear friends, to see their great deliverance through this very epistle to them is the great blessing. And let us flee from all manner of unbelief, dear friends. It's falling away from that trusting in the Lord, that waiting upon the Lord. This is the place of the Lord's poor people, all their journey through, leaning upon the rock Christ Jesus, no one else, to bring them through their course. This is the mercy that belongs to us, looking unto Jesus. And then let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And we are found in that race that is before us, and we're striving. But dear friends, this is the blessing. Let us run this race that is set before us. Oh, let us be removed from all that would hinder and distract, looking only unto Jesus. And then that glorious gift, spiritual gift of patience, dear friends, waiting upon the Lord Jesus. This is the blessing that will belong to the Lord's dear people, that patience. And that patience means one that is enduring, one that is continuing. Dear friends, it's the path that the Lord has ordained for us, isn't it? The path here that these Hebrew Christians were passing through, it's a path that he had ordained for them. And it will be trying to their faith. It was the path that Job was brought to pass through, you know. And he seemed to one trouble up on top of another. Oh, he was struggling, dear friends, to come through his course. A great and troublesome and afflictive path for Job. But what did Job say? He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Dear friends, he was submitted to the will of the Lord Jesus. And what did James say of this? He said, take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. That is what the word patience means. Enduring and continuing. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. What was the blessing that truly belonged unto Job? He says, he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Do you know, he was brought to see that the way that he took was the Lord's way. And he waited patiently on the Lord, and he was looking to Jesus. It's looking to Jesus. He will give grace and patience, dear friends, to his people to continue their course here below. Oh, what a grace this is, dear friends. It's a real grace of the Spirit, this patient, because it looks to the Lord. It waits upon the Lord. It prays to the Lord. That is what it does, dear friends. This is the looking unto Jesus. Now, here is the blessing. These are a cloud of witnesses. And dear friends, we are journeying, and we do not know what is in our path. I don't know what your path is, dear friends, but are we looking to Jesus? There's only one way, dear friends, that straight, that narrow way. And Jesus is the only helper of his people to bring us through that way and path, you know. And it brings us to himself. And that is how, dear friends, the Lord's people will run the race, and yes, they will gain the prize, you see, looking unto Jesus. Now then, just for a few moments then, dear friends, are we seeking the Lord for his salvation? To whom are we looking, dear friends? To whom are we praying? To whom are we seeking? It's looking to Jesus, the wondrous, unspeakable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ to his people. It is him that has procured salvation for his people, and his heavenly Father gave and into his hands all those, dear friends, in covenant, whom he should indeed become their covenantee, their great salvation. And he gave the whole church into his hands in covenant before time began. And dear friends, have we got a little interest in this? for our poor souls, that we were one of those that was given into the hands of Jesus even before time began. You see, and what did Jesus say in the Gospels? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Oh, they will come to him. The Lord will meet with them through his Spirit. He will convince and convict them of their sins and iniquities. However, whichever way and means, it will please him. He came to the woman of Samaria. He came to Zacchaeus, dear friends. He came to the madman. However the Lord will appear in his providence, dear friends, he will come and he will reveal and manifest that sin that lies within, as the woman of Samaria was brought to declare it. Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She was now looking to him, the only one that could bring her through her course. But she knew his redeeming love and blood, you see, for all her sins and iniquities. Oh, there is neither salvation in any other name, none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And dear friends, and I speak to our young people, dear friends, if the Lord would but apply and take the word to them, looking unto Jesus, there's no other hope for the poor, guilty, ruined soul, dear friends, whose sin may be a mass of sin, a multitude of sins, but whatever, he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Oh, dear friends, looking unto Jesus, the only hope for sinners here below, salvation through him. Oh, the vilest sinner out of hell, dear friends, can venture to him, unburden themselves, confess their sins. And dear friends, he shows mercy. The publican found mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See the wondrous change that took place in that man. He went to his house justified. How can we stand justified who a few moments before were vile sinners? It's Jesus, dear friends, justified, cleansed and healed through his blood and righteousness. That is the wondrous truth. Looking unto Jesus, and we're journeying in our way and path, dear friends, and we're journeying to an end. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We do not know when the Lord will take us from this earthly scene. It's a divine appointment, a time to be born and a time to die. It's in the Lord's hands with every one of us. Whether we're the regenerate or the unregenerate, it's in the Lord's hands when we shall be taken from this earthly scene. But the Lord's people, they shall be taught. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. How can we apply our hearts unto wisdom, dear friends, running the race that is set before us? Isn't it that a wonderful word, dear friends, that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae in chapter 3? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, and where Christ sitteth, the right hand of the Father. Set your affection on things that are above and not on the earth. Oh, there will be those times, dear friends, to find union and fellowship with the Lord and communion with him, and thought and desire and affection towards him. Pray for these times, dear friends, times when we may see the Lord found in our room and place at Calvary, and find that comfort in our minds as we are journeying towards an end, and we do not know when the Lord will take us from this scene, but say to the righteous that it shall be well with him. It will. It's Jesus, looking to Jesus. That is where we're looking. We'll live each day by faith upon him and serve him in our day and generation. What do we bear? We bear the witness in our souls that it shall be well with us, say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with him. Dear friends, to be one in the Lord is our greatest blessing and our greatest mercy. And then there is this truth, looking unto Jesus, the Lord is coming again. Are we looking to Jesus? When was the last time, dear friends, that we thought of this wondrous truth, that the Lord is coming again? It bids his people, dear friends, to consider the truth. And we know not the day or the hour when the Lord shall come again. And this wondrous truth, and this, know that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Dear friends, are we looking to Jesus? My little study at the back of my house, dear friends, I look over the garden and I can look up on the clouds, and they're often travelling across. And I see in those clouds, dear friends, that there's a day coming, and I pray for it, and I pray to be ready. I pray, Lord, that the Lord will prepare me for that day. But the Lord is going to come again through those clouds. And it's in an hour that we know not. But, dear friends, it won't be a surprise to the Lord's dear people, will it? It won't be a surprise to the Lord's dear people. Be ye also ready. Why? Looking unto Jesus. And he is coming again. Dear friends, may the Lord prepare us and make us watchful for him. And then, dear friends, let us, for a close in this thought, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And may we be brought oftentimes to view by faith that place that Jesus has reserved for each of his people beside him. I go to prepare a place for you, and it's prepared. Let our eye of faith, dear friends, peep beyond the veil, as it were, and see that wondrous place that is reserved for each of his people. And it is reserved. And then that day when we shall be with him forever and see him as he is, that day when we shall enter into that full happiness and peace and joy in our souls, dear friends, this is the day, looking unto Jesus. Oh, may that be our portion as we journey forth here below. May Jesus be our all and in all our way and path. Help us to commit everything that concerns us into his hands, so that we shall be able freely to run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Amen.